building a foundation that is set to last, right? Because we're here to stay, you know. So aligning one of my core values, which is employee leadership and growth, you know, how do you do that? How do you go from retention to talent management to succession even? You know, all these things I hold myself accountable for.
Thank you for being a devoted listener of this podcast, Beyond Clean with Ace, dedicated to healthy, positive, and proactive content to support individuals primarily in the cleaning industry. Are you a facilities manager, a frontline staff member, or a building services contractor and are looking for knowledge that will help you advance both personally and professionally? Beyond Clean with Ace is now in season 7, and speakers have consistently brought us messages which parallel our key focus of providing proactive knowledge. Many times the conversations here go beyond cleaning toilets, windows, and floors, and helping individuals on a personal level. Subscribe and share with others so that everyone's life can be enhanced in healthy, positive, and proactive ways. And now, let's join Dave Thompson, Director of the Academy of Cleaning Excellence, and your host here at Beyond Clean with Ace.
Well, hello, everyone out there in podcast land. I don't know where you are at this point, but hey, I know one thing. I just missed a hurricane this week, and I am so glad to be on the air and talking with you this week. You know, as we talk here at Beyond Clean with Ace, we don't talk about just cleaning, but, you know, lately I've been able to talk with some people around Florida that's in the cleaning business. You know what? I'm going to jump states this week, and I'm going to jump all the way up the East Coast, all the way to New York, and talk to Omar Miller. Omar, are you on the line with me?
I am on the line, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's great. You know, we've talked a few times on LinkedIn, but we've never got to do this. So before we get into a conversation, who's Omar Miller and what is Advantage Cleaning?
Well, my name's Omar Miller. I'm the president of Advantage Cleaning. We're, I would say, commercial cleaning company, but we're far more than that at this point. We're a single source for facility solutions. We also handle maintenance as well as the cleaning. We've incorporated different functionalities to our business over the course of the years. We are a company that has grown tremendously. We're a staple in New York City and New Jersey. And people are starting to be aware of some of the noise that we're making, right? Which is great. So we're competing on a high level with some of the big names in New York City, which I'm very proud of. And I owe it all to the people who work with us.
Okay, so you say some of the big names. Well, that means you're one of the big names now?
I would like to say so. At least in New York City, man, we're holding it down. It's a tough state. You know, that's the saying goes, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Okay.
And it's very, very competitive in terms of contracts, in terms of, you know, getting introductions to decision makers. So it's a special talent when doing work in the city.
How long you been doing this now?
We are, I'm happy to say, today's 9-1 on 9-18, we make 5 years in the industry.
5 years. You know, there's some data out there that 60% of cleaning businesses don't see their fifth year anniversary.
That's why I'm so excited about this fifth year, Dave.
I kind of figured that might be that point, you know, that you were trying to make.
Yes, that's why I'm really excited about this.
You know, I think that's the thing is if you've been in business that long now, if I look at websites correctly, you're over 100 employees now.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just about, I mean, we function at a level of maybe 85. But when you add on special project teams and things like that, we're floating around 100.
You know, I think that's the interesting thing too, is that, you know, I talk to different people in this industry and different people have different numbers that they like to put out there. You know, the one I looked at was how many people do you have? That means that's a strength of your operation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. And it's, I think we could have grown a little bit faster, but my process, you know, I've spoken to you in the past. I follow your work and your school, you know, and I think that's instrumental in building a foundation along with core values, right? Building a foundation that is set to last, right? Because we're here to stay, you know. So aligning one of my core values, which is employee leadership and growth, you know, how do you do that? How do you go from retention to talent management to succession even? You know, all these things I hold myself accountable for. So we set up very unique systems in terms of training and how to get people to understand the business more than just the job, right? Because look, for the retention purpose, New York is a big city. It's very competitive, even with pricing. My cleaners can go across the street, my employees, and say, look, I'm getting a dollar extra over here, we're leaving, but they don't. You know, we've had some of the, I just had, you know, one of my day ones walking yesterday. She was with me when it was, you know, from the beginning, you know, when I was still cleaning. And it's amazing to see things like that she's still here, you know. And then we have another 70 employees who've been here the last 3 and 4 years, right? Because I think it's based on the culture that we've been able to build here, you know, and that comes from care and concern for the people that are actually, you know, helping you get to the levels you're trying to go to, and you helping these people, my employees, my friends, accomplish things in their lives, in their careers.
Well, you know, what it sounds like to me is, and you know, there's several different things. Talk to somebody that's running a cleaning business in New York City. There's a number of different things. And ironically, the time of the year that you and I happen to be talking today. But you know, we're now in what some people would say post-COVID. You've been growing a business during COVID.
Yes.
Now, that had to be one challenge you didn't see coming.
I did not see that coming, man. And, you know, for me, my motto is always like, you know, well, people used to ask me, what's your plan B? There is no plan B.
This is the only plan, man.
This is going to work.
Well, you know, and it revolves around those people, and those people, it had to be really impactful during that time.
Yeah, extremely. Because, you know, you have to respect certain boundaries, right? Certain people did not want to come out. And you can't say, well, you know, I'll give you this, because then it falls in line with lack of integrity, right? And respecting someone who doesn't want to put themselves at risk for whatever reason. So it was definitely a challenge getting my hands on the right equipment without established relationships with suppliers, right? Because all those were going to the bigger name companies, right? Any sort of electrostatic machines and disinfecting products. So I really had to scramble, you know, and then developing a line of communication with decision makers, right? Because these places are closed. They're trying to reopen. We're opening. We're not opening, right? We kept getting those delays, and especially in New York City. So it was a lot of back and forth, and a lot of talking with these decision makers to get in there and do like really big projects, right? For deep cleaning. And then once those projects were done, trying to like get in there on a recurring basis, which we accomplished. We were very successful at. But it took going above and beyond, you know, in the initial process of getting in here. Like, we have to make a name for ourselves, right? Some of these 100,000 square foot facilities, my first time being in them, and I'm from New York, is to clean them, you know? So we got a crew of 7 people, you know, cleaning these places, and I'm struggling with payroll. There's a bunch of different overhead and company and business challenges that I'm facing. But we were able to get through them successfully, and people saw the way that we worked, the processes and systems that we have, the development and streamlining, and the way we treated our people, you know, and one thing led to another, and we became established in the heart of New York, right? So for the most part, we do, if you come to New York, Dave, and you go to an attraction, chances are that Advantage is cleaning it, you know? Besides that, we do have other clients, you know, Class A buildings and restaurants and things like that. But we've been able to attach our names and get this sort of wave going in New York where people understand the capability that Advantage can handle, right? Because it's, let me tell you, it's a different style of cleaning. I like to compare it to medical, although it's not, and we do medical as well. Because when you got people on an international level coming to visit these places, touching everything, using the restrooms, it's not like a cleaning. Okay, I did this. Now I can go to this. No, it's do it over, over, and over again. You're doing it five times.
Your employees are not dealing with a stable group of workers like you would in an office building or a plant. It's not the same people. When you're dealing with an attraction, you literally have no idea where the infections are or have come from or their veracity. You know, I'm thinking your people had to go through a lot of intense education and skills training during, and maybe has that changed after COVID?
Well, not for the attractions, you know, and I always remind my clients of how important it is to mitigate any sort of emerging pathogens, right? So some of the steps that we've taken for this is that every supervisor has to be certified as a custodial technician by the ISSA. If you're on a management level, you will then be certified by the Building Service Contractors Association International as a registered service building manager. So at that point, not only do you have the cert, but you have the education to pass on to the client and let them know that you understand how to function in this area and how to help assist with mitigating bacteria, you know, that you understand dilution ratios, that you understand functionality behind all the equipment, you know, that you can engineer a proper system without getting people hurt in the process, you know. Simple things like that go a very long way. You know, I tell my employees when they get here, even if they don't plan on staying, leave with something. Don't go out the same way you came in. You know, educate yourself. We're willing to put you through these courses so you understand. And excellent news is that we have a great supplier and we've attached ourselves to that supplier and they've developed these training courses for our employees. So we take groups of 20 to 25 employees to a huge manufacturing plant, half office space, and they go through a whole, we have a three-step training process, right? Where you go through chemical, that's the first step. You have to understand what you're using, how much of it you need to use, and making sure you don't mix something that can be harmful for not only you, but somebody around you, right?
Yeah, most people that are using cleaning chemicals never think about all of those details like you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's extremely important because if you really consider it, you know, it's very easy. I've seen people, you know, we all grow up cleaning our apartments, right? And, you know, you pour some stuff in the bucket and you make it smell really strong so your mother and dad know you're cleaning, you know?
Yeah, now, how effective do you think we really were at cleaning our room, you know?
Terrible. It was way too much. Yeah. And I always wondered why the floor was sticky, but now I know, you know? So it's like understanding that, and they're shocked when we do the comparison in the training course of, you know, how much chemical goes per water, right? The ratio. Oh, yeah. And it's not a lot. You don't have, the chemical's effective. You just have to let it work. And letting them understand that. On the second level of things, after we get past chemical training, understanding equipment, right? Functionality behind it, so you don't hurt yourself. What you have to do before you start using the equipment, the prepping of it, which is probably more important than even using it, right? Wet floor signs, you know, things like that'll help assist with some of the safety. And then lastly, we go into a physical training, right? Where our supervisors, every week, we fill out what's called a training and development form. This training and development form, we take one older employee and we take one new employee, right? We don't want people who have relationships and they can be friends, that's fine. But we want to take someone who's just experiencing working with us and someone who's been with us 4 years. Put them together and see what they know. Because sometimes the person who's been here less time can help the person who's been here more time, right?
Yeah, because they listened with a different ear.
Yes, and everybody needs a refresher at some point. I don't care who you are, even myself, right? We all need refreshers and reminders of, listen, you don't know everything. There's plenty to learn.
Learning does not stop because of age.
It never stops. And that's the one thing we pride ourselves on. So these sheets go in. They're also brought together with, we have a very streamlined process which I set up because we're going into other states, and I want to be able to look at our status report in any state and understand what's going on behind the training and development process. So even through this process, we keep score, right? You get a score, and what that does is put you in position for Employee of the Month. So all the supervisors pick 2 people per week. They should have 8 people per month. We should be able to get through enough employees to develop, okay, this person's score out of 100 came in 85, this person came in 75. Guess what? We have a metric now for Employee of the Month, right? We didn't just pick someone because we feel like they're good. You know, it's a fair game, and we allow people the opportunity to put themselves in the position. And that score also helps us identify to see who's going to be our next lead, who's going to be our next supervisor, who's going to go into area supervisor, management, area manager, you know, so forth and so on. So it helps, it really helps align with our core value of a commitment to the client and also employee leadership and growth.
You know, because, before you go any further, I got to tell you, it sounds like you have some people that you need to get on our website and nominate for Rockstar Custodian of the Year.
Oh, man, I have a ton of people for you, Dave.
No, it's not for me. It's for you. It's for them.
Yeah, hey, I mean, I think that's great. Yeah.
Come on. It's rockstarsofcleaning.com, folks. If you're listening right now, rockstarsofcleaning.com. Nominations are still open. We're down here the 1st of September as we're recording this. Nominations are open. We're looking for rock stars. Omar, it sounds like you got some ready-made people. You just need to get on there and get those applications filled out.
Oh, man, I'll do that today. I will do it today.
That recognizes them. Hey, it's a worldwide nomination. Anybody can nominate anybody. Well, except for themselves, of course.
Yeah, so thank you for bringing that up, Dave. I get so caught up sometimes, but that's amazing. That's a great idea, and we're going to get on top of that.
But, I mean, and you were right. The thing about it is as you've said this, it's retention. It's also bringing somebody in new that needs education. But everybody can learn at every stage of their career.
Yeah, man. Training is everything, man. I've had some employees come in. And you know, the places we clean are different. You know, I got people that come in with a 10-year career who are, you know, I call their references, and the references are amazing. And then they come and work with us, and they realize, they say, wow, this is challenging. This is a different style of cleaning I've never done before. And so
I got to tell you, when I was looking at the website, you know, I saw this one picture of you standing next to what appeared to be a person. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. Does he actually know somebody that's acting like Captain America? And then I looked a little closer and everything, and I go, now, wait a minute. That's a wax figure.
That is a wax figure, yes. That's one of our clients.
Well, and you're right, Omar. Then I thought, you know what? You know, cleaning is cleaning, but how do you clean wax figures in a wax museum?
Yeah, way different style, man. Like I said, the only thing I can compare it to is medical. And I'm so happy that this is what we were pushed into in the beginning, because it's almost like boot camp for cleaning, right? Because you could put us anywhere at this point, and we could run any facility based on the style and the way we understand how to clean, you know. And that's what we've been through. We pretty much do every attraction in New York City, you know. Some bigger than others, some more demanding than others, but the system that we've streamlined and put together works extremely well, and they enjoy it. You know, we have a streamlined system where not only is the training going on, but we do an improvement plan weekly, and we provide our clients a KPI monthly, right? So they see deficiency charts and areas, and then we can communicate on that and why this area is deficient, because it's a very honest report. You know, I'm not going to keep things back or hold them. We're going to show you what it is, because if I start messing with the margins and the percentages, it won't make sense anymore, right? Yeah, there's a dust deficiency because we need to develop a deep cleaning system, because you have things on your shelves 12 months out the year that we can't get to, you know? So it's effective communication.
Well, and all of this does change. Before we got on the air, folks, we were talking a little bit about what's going on and everything. And you mentioned it just a minute ago, Omar. You're now not just based in New York, you've spread your wings out, I think, even into my area down here in Orlando.
Yeah, yeah, man. So I was
talk about it. Talk to us. What's going on here?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You know, so I got the opportunity to go on a national level about 6 months ago, and I didn't take it because we weren't ready. You know, so I was waiting until we were ready. Number one, our foundation, right? How do we implement training systems? How do we make sure those training systems are continued in other states? And now we're prepared for that. So I recently just came from Las Vegas. I came from Florida, and we're setting up, you know, in those locations, as well as New Jersey, Connecticut, and we're going into Pennsylvania and DC. So we're excited. You know, my whole goal was to take this show on the road, you know, and I think we started at a great spot, because I've been to other places, and a lot of people, you know, pass over New York because of the difficulty behind it. You know, and I can understand that. It's a very, very competitive place to work. But we're ready to take the show on the road and implement these systems in other states. And our clients are as well. You know, I've had clients come to me and say, hey, can you take over everything? And I could do cleaning. I could do maintenance. We are a single source facility solution. Yes. I'll stop at like the HVAC point and things like that. But they've asked us to do everything because they enjoy the systems that we provide and the communication and effort that we give them.
You know, the challenge that every cleaning operation has is, of course, the people, but they are the biggest reward as well. Retention seems to be the biggest issue. It was when I was in the industry, you know, 40 years ago. It still is what I hear today. You apparently have a lock on this now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say lock, but we're doing well. We're doing well at controlling it, you know. And I really think it's just about understanding your people. You know, like I still know everyone on a first name basis. How long will that last? I don't know. But
if you get all of those states, man, you're going to do better than me.
I might not. But, you know, I still go into places and I'm not like, you know, if I'm inspecting something or looking at something, some people don't even know who I am. And then they'll refer to me to a supervisor. Oh, the guy who was just cleaning the baseboard, you know. So I'm still in those accounts and looking at things and acting as if, you know, I've never left that position from when I was trying to start in the beginning, you know. And I think it's just about understanding people on that level, where you'll never get too big to overlook, you know, the newest employee or the oldest employee. You know, it's very important. That's why I'm very big on these systems, so we can correct whatever has to go on in terms of communicating with them and letting them know. Give me an example. We use a software, Sweat. Most people in the industry use it, right? But Sweat has a mood report. And on that mood report, a lot of people don't focus on it. That mood report is in our weekly report. For 100 employees, right? So if let's say 10 of those 100 employees has a frown face, HR immediately reaches out to them before the report is submitted. So we understand why they have the frown face, right? So if they have a neutral face, a frown face, a smiling face, great. No need to reach out. But a lot of times what we'll get is, oh, I clicked it by accident. Or we'll get this, I'm having some problems at home, you know, and then we can dig in a little bit deeper and see if we can assist that person with any of their problems, right? Or we'll get, I'm having a communication barrier with the person I'm working with. And then we could identify how to fix that problem faster than someone walking out. So we've streamlined the system pretty well in terms of understanding our employees, their talent level, and where they need to go.
That brings up the thought process of, as you move to these other states, of, you know, everybody says, well, where do you find your labor? Where do you get them? You have an onboarding program. So do you have a set, I guess, entry issues or forms or something that people, I mean, I'm not trying to give out trade secrets here, but.
It's okay, man. I mean, for the most part, we all do the same things, right? It's just a matter of how you're doing them. And yeah, we have a very intensive onboarding process, right? And I feel like that's the only way to see if someone's going to stick it out.
So do you put them through that process in the first 10 days and they have to do that, or they're not employable, or do you employ them and then put them through? Kind of give me a little idea.
Well, we try, to be honest, we try different methods, you know. Yeah. So now what we do is our initial interview is a lot more intensive and stringent in terms of even hiring that person, you know. And once they get through that process, once they're hired, they go through the training process, which could be 72 hours of training with the same supervisor or manager. Once they get through that process, they still, if it's general, if it's a cleaner, they'll have like a 30 to 45 onboarding. If it's supervisor management, it'll be 60 to 90, you know, and we go through those bullet points with them, right? We show them what we're looking for. We go through various SOPs with them so they understand the functionality behind each account. Mm-hmm. And I'm very big on standard operation procedures, flow charts, videos. You know, everyone learns at a different rate and everyone sees things differently. Sometimes right. You got to repeat it and repeat it again. But if they have it on video, if they have it in front of them as the SOP or a flow chart, chances are that it's going to stick with them and they'll remember those things. You know,
So I hear what you're saying is they have to go through this before you put them into a building. And I think that's what I like to hear.
Absolutely. And if they're in the building, if they're in the building prior to this, it's just to show them what's on the sheet with a manager or supervisor. So now they can put what's on paper in a physical form and say, oh, okay, this is what you're talking about. When I first show up, I have to take a picture of this. When I'm going throughout the course of my day, I have to take a picture of this. Not to micromanage you, but for communication purposes with a manager on duty or let's say a point of contact, right?
Yeah, and the thing is that's using technology, that's using all of the avenues we have. It's not as simple as a lot of people think when they first apply for a job as a cleaner at a cleaning operation.
No, it's not simple at all. And you'd be surprised, man. Some people haven't caught up to some of the technology yet. And that's it's an important question.
You eliminate some people right quick. No,
it's an important question to ask, because if you can't follow our system or align yourselves with our core value, right? And it might sound a little generic to say that, but it's so true. I've read some books, right? And I used to think, okay, I need core values. But why do you need them? You need them because you got to align whatever you're doing with your business with the person who's coming in your business, right? They have to fit. So if something is on my core value list and I see that it's not a quality you have, then it might not be a fit for this company. Not saying it wouldn't work somewhere else, but we know what we stand on and we understand what fits and what doesn't. Right.
But, selecting employees to operate your organization is just like selecting the clients that you work for. Both have to fit together before a company can be prosperous.
Crucial. It is crucial because there are some ninjas, some rock stars. There are some MVPs of the industry who can't function with other employees, you know, and I've had these situations where it's like, okay, I would love to keep this person on, but for the greater good, they can't stay on, right? Because it becomes a bigger issue. And that being said, you know, it's better to be able to get someone to align with your system and train and understand things than saying, oh, this guy's great, just leave him here, he can do it, you know, but he's making everybody else miserable or she's making everybody else miserable. You know, so we don't allow that. You know, we would rather take, you know, the initiative to train you so you understand and have a good culture.
Now, the client that you get has to meet those two, because not every opportunity needs to be your client.
That's great, Dave. I'm glad you brought that up. But it's like that now. When I first started, listen, give me anything.
It was like, I just need something, man.
I just need some work, man. I was walking up and down the street with a window pole. So it's like, you know, and then over time, we understood that we had an opportunity to make that. We had a choice. And now we have that choice, which is amazing. And it's great. And it feels good. But in the beginning, I just, you know, we took whatever we could. But yeah, for the most part, now we could see clearly all of our clients are aligned with our plan and their plan, right? Because it's a relationship and both people have to appreciate and want to grow in the partnership. So we have that sort of chemistry with all of our clients at this point.
Now, I think what people don't understand is being an entrepreneur is simply being a middleman between the client and the employee. Or am I wrong?
No, you're spot on.
Yeah, you're the one that navigates both sides of this. So that cohesion and that retention of both the client and the retention of the worker is a relationship that you manipulate, foster in between both.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a non-biased situation because you have to look at both sides, right? Because I have my employees' best interest. I also have my clients' best interest. So it's always finding middle ground because it can't go either way, right? You don't want the client to abuse the employee or the employee to accuse the client of not doing this. So it's a matter of me stepping in at certain points or middle management stepping in, finding out what the issue is, and then resolving that as best we can.
Well, you know, I've taken a half hour of your time on a Friday. I really appreciate it. I do have to ask a question simply because of the time of year and where you're at. And sure. I apologize if this hurts and hits a bad chord. But, you know, for me, 9/11 means something totally different. That was my birth date. So, you know, and I tell people all the time, I was born way before what you think, what you're thinking about, but you're in New York, you're dealing with it. And it seems like every year we go through this remembrance. Is it a hard time for you and your employees there?
I think it's a tough time for everyone, you know, in general, living in the city, because Dave, I grew up 5 blocks away from the World Trade Center, you know, so we all know somebody or connected to somebody who lost somebody, you know, so it's a rough time for everyone. And there's always a memorial. They always put up like 2 towers, like holograms that go up and these things shine bright in the sky on 9/11. You can see them at night, very clear. And then they go over the list of people as you watch the news. It's a very touchy matter. And there are a lot of people, including myself, who are still affected one way or another, man. I mean, whether it was through a family member, a loved one, and then the air quality, right? There's a ton of factors that came into play. And so I would say, yes, you know, everyone's very much so still affected by it.
You know, I think the thing is, the only reason I bring this up is because, and I thank you for bringing that up, Omar, because, you know, indoor air quality has always been an issue. And of course, here at the Academy, you know, my concern and my, if you will, mission that you mentioned is all about the frontline technician and protecting the health of that frontline technician and everything that we do, health and safety of that person. And I think you think about different things in life that bring about those focuses. 9/11 has now brought about all of the aftermath focuses of indoor air quality and what things did to our bodies afterwards. COVID did and has done the same thing. There's another one still coming. And I think this is the point of the cleaning industry. I don't know, folks, if you're listening, if you agree with me, I think Omar might, but you know what? I say we're the first true responders because we keep people from getting ill if we do our job right.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's funny you said that, Dave, and you are 100% correct. But I put a post up in LinkedIn recently because we do schools as well, right? And we do all of their work, including when they open a new one, we do the post-construction. Mm-hmm. So I put a post, great to be a part of something where you know that, you know, they're putting an establishment in an area that's might be less fortunate than some others. So kids are coming in there to learn and it's run behind a private institution that is backing this whole project. And you know, it's going to be a great project. So it was more or less advantage being proud to be a part of something where they might not be seen. They might not even be heard, right? But we know when they come in that school that they won't have any sort of problems because we've done our best to mitigate any sort of pathogens and to make it as clean as possible, right? When they sit down and start touching things and going home and, you know, we all know how kids are, but, you know, we didn't have to be heard or seen, but we know that we did our best and that we did a really good job at getting them set up so they wouldn't attract anything or bring anything home.
That frontline technician doing their job properly as you have instructed and as you have educated is more valuable to people than they have a realization. And that makes us in the cleaning industry very important people.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
You know, I could say we could talk about a whole lot of things, but I think that I've taken a lot of your time on a Friday. I appreciate that. Because people haven't heard from you here on the podcast before, before I let you go, I've got two questions, but give us a parting word of wisdom for other people in the cleaning industry, you know, whether they're new to it, whether they're getting started, whether they're thinking about owning one, whatever it might be. What would be your words of wisdom to someone right now?
This is, man, I got so many words. But I mean,
just folks, we might go a little bit longer, so stay tuned.
But just to keep it as simple as possible, I would say if you are passionate about this industry, immerse yourself in the industry, engage in everything, and never give up, right? Because if you've ever heard my story, then you understand, like, I could have easily went another direction and said, you know what, this is too difficult. But just remember this, although we're at 100 employees, it was just me and Anna at one point, and Anna's my wife. It was just us two at one point, right? And we didn't have an account, you know? I was going B2B trying to get accounts. So if you could remember that and sticking with your goals and understanding that things will come in time and just staying prepared for those things, but never giving up.
Where were you born?
I was born and raised in New York City.
I had that feeling. I hadn't asked that question. I looked for it everywhere, but nobody, I couldn't find that, but I just kind of figured that's what it was.
Yeah. Born and raised in New York City, man. It's a gritty town. You got to scrape, scratch, and claw for everything, but it's turned me into who I am, right? And I really, this company has done a great job at handling some really, really fast-paced accounts. And we are ready to take on whatever comes our way.
Well, folks, you might ask, why is he asking these questions? And the second question I'm going to ask usually catches people a little off guard, but we know that he's getting ready to spread the wings right here. Omar and Advantage is getting ready to spread their wings. But the next year coming up, for you personally, Omar, not business-wise, you personally, what's on your bucket list?
My bucket list for personal, that's a great question because everything I attach myself to is based with this company.
You know, for most entrepreneurs, that's a hard question.
Yeah, man. But, you know,
because it's always around the business, right? I live for just the business.
Yeah. And sometimes I got to step back, but I can give you guys one goal that I'm working on right now, right?
Okay.
And has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with business. I'm getting ready to run my first 5K. Which for me is a big deal. So I'm excited about that. You know, personal goal for me is to stay healthy enough to enjoy the growth of this company, you know, and second to that would be pursuing the other people around me and pushing them to be the talent I know they are so I could see them achieve some of their goals as well. Because although it's fulfilling to achieve your own personal goals on a business level, it's also very fulfilling to watch someone else achieve their goals as well, who came in and trusted you to get them to where they needed to go, right?
Now, folks, if you've been listening to the podcast and you've stayed with us so far, we're going to put some things in the show notes for you. But if you want to learn more about Omar and his operation there in New York, soon to be at a facility close to you somewhere, AdvantageCleaningLLC.net. Now, we didn't talk about how you started the business because there's some podcasts on there, folks. You can go and listen to those and find out about how he went from, well, an Uber driver to a multi-million dollar business, which I didn't want to get into today because it's about the people. And I thank you, Omar, for that. But I asked those two questions for a reason. And folks, we'd like for you to make sure that whatever you do between now and then, you follow what we're going to talk about next, because we know where Omar started. We know where Omar and the business is going right now. The final chapters of both of these is not written yet, much like our lives. We know where we started, we know where we've been, and we know what we've learned. But what I'd like for you to do, folks, is make sure that between now and the next time that you listen to us, that that journey, whatever it is healthy, positive, and proactive. Omar, thanks for being on the show here at Beyond Clean with Ace. We look forward to chatting with you again, maybe while you're here in Orlando, maybe sometime soon.
David, it's truly a pleasure to be here. I follow you and I follow your success and I follow your journey and all the people that you're helping. I think it's amazing. When I am in Orlando next, man, I promise I'll reach out and we'll get together.
Thanks for being on the show, guy.
Yes, absolutely.